I am Plant Online. This is thecommentary.ca. Once again, Michael Kwan joins me. He's a freelance writer and blogger. You can read his blog, Beyond the Rhetoric, at his website, michaelkwan.com. Please welcome once again to the Plant Online program, Michael Kwan. Good morning, Mr. Kwan.
There you go.
So we seem to be in the midst of this economic crisis. This recession, I suppose, is another way that people have been terming it. Has it affected you at all?
It did initially for a little while, because as a freelance writer, obviously, I write for a few different companies, and if they're cutting back on funding, they have to look for places where they can cut back on some of the expenses, and sometimes that happens to be me. I've had a couple of clients who had to leave because they could no longer afford to pay the rate that I was charging. But on the flip side, it's the exact opposite effect in some companies where if they are downsizing the number of full-time employees, they will tend to outsource their work to freelancers and other people like that on an as-needed basis, because that can be much more cost-effective for a company rather than having someone around full-time when you don't really need them around full-time.
Well, one thing I noticed on your Facebook, you always mentioned the whenever the exchange rate, I guess in your case, if the American dollar goes down, that's not good for you?
No. Like, I do have a fair number of Canadian clients, but of my American clients, I will get paid in U.S. dollars. So if I see, like, I think it was like 3 months ago or so, that the exchange rate was about 30%. Now it's close to about 12%. That represents, you know, an 18% pay cut, effectively.
They also say that this is the time to buy art and the sort, and if you're buying real estate, do you find that people are doing that, taking advantage of these economic times, if you will?
If you have the money to do so, it seems to make the most sense to invest in real estate now, because properties are close to their cheapest, mortgage rates are at about as low as they're going to get. So if you can afford to buy a home, and if you were planning to buy a home, it makes sense to do so now. But if you happen to just get laid off and you're barely making ends meet, it's probably not the best idea to take on an additional $300,000-$500,000 worth of debt.
Well, when you were on last about 3 months ago, so I guess it was in February, we talked about my new phone, and it's become indispensable to my life.
Mm-hmm.
You bought one, I understand, in recent months.
Yeah, I bought a Nokia E71 about a month and a half ago, and yeah, it's far too easy to get addicted to the internet when you have it always in your pocket. So I'm always, you know, checking my email and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's I used to have a laptop. I had one for about 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and it died in the fall. And I haven't replaced it yet because I feel I don't need one. Do you find that that's the case? Well, you use a laptop for your writing, I suppose, right?
Yeah. Well, it depends on what you want to use it for. If you're only using your smartphone mostly to, you know, check Facebook and check your email, then yeah, it's not really necessary to have a laptop, assuming you have some kind of computer at home. But for me, my laptop is still an indispensable tool, because working from home can get pretty boring at times, so then I do go out to the Starbucks or whatever ever so often just for a change of pace, and that's when I would bring my laptop along, work for a couple hours from the coffee shop. Same kind of thing, like when in January when I went to Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show, or I'm going to the E3 Video Game Expo next week, and that's the same kind of thing. I'd have to have my laptop with me as a mobile workstation. I wouldn't be able to write articles and edit photos and that kind of thing for my phone.
Has the laptop replaced a desktop for you?
Yeah, I haven't had a full-time desktop for a good 4 years or so now.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I've got, you know, where I'm talking to you from right now, my little office here, I've got two computers. They're both desktops.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have one at home.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just... So I'm thinking of getting a laptop, and I've just resisted getting one because I have the BlackBerry.
Right.
Do you... If I'm going to look for a laptop, is this the right time to do it? Should I wait till the fall? Should I wait till school starts?
If you're looking to get a Mac, then I guess it doesn't really matter as much. Although there is there's a big Apple conference coming up next month where they might have some new stuff. But if you're looking more into the Windows market, I think it would make more sense to wait a little while until there's the official release of Windows 7, which would be the next operating system that will replace Vista, because any Windows laptop that you buy right now will be powered by Vista, and Windows 7 brings a whole slew of improvements and enhancements, that kind of thing. They have the beta version out right now as a free download for you to try, but as a beta version, it's going to have little bugs and quirks and things like that, so I'd wait for the final version, which I'm thinking will be sometime near the end of this year, but you know how Microsoft is, so it could be, it could perpetually get delayed as well.
People hate Vista, don't they?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Why do you think, you mentioned that you're going to this E3 video game conference,
mm-hmm.
This game expo. Where is this?
This is in Los Angeles.
And is it new video games coming out, or what's the deal there?
Pretty much. Like, it'd be the same kind of thing as the Consumer Electronics Expo that I went to, except it's completely video game focused. So you'll have the people from Nintendo and Sony and Microsoft, Capcom, etc., having their booths there. Mostly focused on the new games, because we are in the middle of a generation of home consoles right now. So it's unlikely that we'll see a new console from Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo at this show, but they may have certain upgrades and variants that will be announced at the show. Like, there's a rumor that there's going to be a slimmer, thinner version of the PlayStation 3 and that kind of thing, but I won't really know until I see the show next week.
Now, Facebook, I use that a great deal. I have it on my phone. Is it at its most popular at this moment? It seems that everyone has it. Everyone uses it.
Yeah, it may have peaked at this point. Due to the nature of the internet, everyone just hops on the next hottest thing. Like, no one that I know uses, like, MySpace anymore. It never really caught on in Canada anyway, but then, like, MySpace isn't nearly as popular as Facebook among the people that I deal with anyway.
And Twitter, you're an avid Twitter user?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter every day.
Do you find that it's useful at all for your work?
Initially, I thought that it was just one big gimmick, because I had a friend of mine that was on it pretty early on, but the more that I use it, the more I see the value of having something like that as a tool. Like, the tagline of what are you doing right now is really only the starting point. If you're only using Twitter to announce that you're having lunch and now you're going to go to bed, you're missing the point altogether. It's more about the ability to network with people around the world and be able to help one another and get real-time feedback about events and things of that nature. Like, if I have a quick question that I want answered, I can ask the question on Twitter, and likely someone among my 1,500 followers would come up with some kind of response for me within a few minutes. Like, there's very few tools that have that kind of real-time response to them.
I don't use it because I don't really understand it. So if you ask a question, for example, what's the capital of South Dakota, someone will answer it. Is that right? You're 1,500 followers, if you call it. I guess that'd be akin to Facebook friends. Is that right?
Essentially, there's the main difference between Facebook and Twitter is Facebook necessitates a two-way relationship, whereas Twitter is a series of one-way relationships. So someone could be following me without me following them back. Like, for example, Oprah, she has 1 million followers, but I think she's only following 7 people. So when she logs into Twitter, she only sees the updates from those 7 people rather than from the 1 million people that are following her. And that's part of the strength of Twitter, because if you were on Facebook and Oprah wanted to get the same kind of power there, she would have to have 1 million friends on Facebook. And when she or her PR rep or whoever logged into that account, they would see the updates from 1 million people, and it'd be far too cluttered for their purposes. So you really get to pick and choose what kind of information and what kind of people you want to follow, and that's very much the way that the direction that the internet is taking now, that people want to have more control over the content that they consume.
You follow technology for a long time. Do you think things like Twitter, like Facebook, do you think these things are just larks, that they'll eventually go away? I mean, do people still instant message one another? Do you think that that's gone as well?
I don't use Instant Messenger as much now that I'm on Twitter. I do have a few conversations through the Gmail chat thing from time to time, but I'm very rarely on MSN anymore and that kind of thing. Like I said before, the way that the internet goes, eventually everyone hops onto the hottest fad. Like with Twitter, it used to be a tool that was used for very internet savvy, geeky kind of people, but now you have people like Ashton Kutcher and Oprah and Ellen using it as a marketing tool. So the way that the internet goes, you always want to move on to what the next shiny new thing would be.
And texting on cell phones and things like that. I've forgotten when I started texting. That's a pretty new phenomenon, isn't it?
Not really.
Like, I mean, it's not 10 years ago people weren't texting, were they?
They probably were, but it's because partly it's because texting has become so much cheaper than it is now. Like I have a plan where I have, you know, like 2,500 text messages and it costs me a couple bucks a month for that. Whereas voice minutes typically cost a lot more, so be able to get that quick message across to your friend, or to be able to send the same message to multiple friends at the same time, is pretty valuable. As smartphones and BlackBerries and iPhones and that kind of thing become more popular, I'm thinking that texting will become less popular as people move towards alternative forms of communication, like email and stuff, where you have more flexibility in what you're able to do. Because with email, you can add attachments and share pictures and that kind of thing. Whereas with text messaging, you're stuck with those 160 characters.
The internet has given us Susan Boyle. And 10 years ago, I don't think we would have heard of Susan Boyle were it not for YouTube and the sort. Well, what do you think it is about her that, I guess, struck a chord with so many people around the world?
Because then she was completely unexpected. Like, when we watch these kind of talent shows, like, personally, I get the most enjoyment, as possibly sadistic or whatever as it may sound, I get the most enjoyment out of the first couple weeks of any of these kind of talent competitions, American Idol, etc., watching people make fools of themselves. And that's exactly how they were framing it up for Susan Boyle, to be this woman that doesn't look like she would have any talent, and here's a chance for us to laugh at her. And then sure enough, she can actually sing. So she became a phenomenon because she was completely the opposite of what you would expect to win a competition like that.
Is it good that we have these sorts of things where we're able to we can watch Susan Boyle on YouTube, that she can have some sort of notoriety because of YouTube? At the end of the day, is it a good thing?
It's probably good for her.
Yeah, but for us, I mean.
Well, it certainly makes the world a lot smaller, insofar that, you know, we are able to connect with people all around the world, be able to see different content from all around the world. Sitting at my computer in Vancouver, in Edmonton, in Toronto, I can still watch content from Australia, from France, from Britain, etc. So it opens up more possibilities of the content that we want to consume. So it's good in that respect.
Well, we just had a provincial election here in British Columbia, and a lot of the guests that have been on regarding that talked about this lack of civic engagement from the electorate, from citizens. You just mentioned that the world's become smaller, but at the same time, we're not as engaged, I think, in voting and the sort. We're the same age. I happen to be interested in politics, probably a little bit more than you.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Well, but what do you think? Why do you think it is people aren't interested in politics?
Well, they've become disenchanted with the concept of democracy. They feel that they are effectively choosing between the lesser of two evils, rather than choosing the representative that they actually want. Especially among younger people, they don't see how a middle-aged white man can represent their desires, the things that they want to see happen.
Can the internet, can technology help get people more involved, more paying attention more, perhaps?
Well, if Barack Obama is any indication of that, then it seems that way, because he seems to have done better connecting with demographics that have traditionally not been all that engaged in politics, urban youth, that kind of thing. So it seems to be helping, but it's still got a long way to go, for sure.
And have you plans for the summer?
Nothing too particular. My biggest plan is just for next week to go to E3, but aside from that, I don't really have anything.
And do you go to movies a lot? It seems when reading your blog, you go to the movies every weekend. Is that true?
Every couple of weekends or so. Like, I think it was about a year and a half ago that I made it a point that every movie that I watch, I will review on my blog. Some of them will get their own post, but by and large, what I've been doing recently is I'll wait until I've watched, you know, three movies or so, and I'll clump them together as a roundup post.
Have you seen anything worth watching yet?
Recently?
Yeah, like these blockbusters that came out, Star Trek
I haven't had a chance to watch Star Trek yet, but thanks to Facebook and Twitter, I'm reminded on a daily basis that I should.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
But I watched Terminator last weekend. I thought it was okay. Wolverine was okay. Like they're not as great as obviously their build up to be, right? But.
Well, you're good to talk to us again, Mike, and do have a nice summer.
Oh, I will. Thank you, Joe.
You're very welcome. The website, michaelkwan.com, Beyond the Rhetoric, that's the name of the blog. Michael Kwan on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.